Thank you for joining us for this month's TA Conversation Circle. Today's topic is on productivity. For those of you who are new to the Conversation Circle, this is meant to be an open sharing discussion, so please unmute and share if you can. If you aren't able to, please feel free to share your thoughts in the chat or just listen in. Unless you're sharing, please remain muted so that we can prevent any background noise. So to start, please enter your name and writing discipline in the chat so we can get to know each other. Or you can unmute and share. Hi, Tara. Hello, everyone. Sorry, my cat. She wants to leave now. One thing that hinders my productivity is definitely my pet. Does anyone want to share or ask a question, anything, get anything, a conversation going, anything they have in their mind they like to start us off with?
I think talking about in terms of productivity and writing, I think something that helps with my productivity in terms of writing for publication is putting it on my calendar as a like a required work task. So I allot certain times to block off for work tasks. So if I treat it like that, even if it's 30 minutes or an hour, I know I've got that time blocked where I'm doing that as part of work. So that has helped, as opposed to waiting till I have maybe some free time to try to write. I just block it off as a scheduled work activity.
A great idea. I don't do that, and I want to start trying. I'll try that. Do you also put like a deadline for it as well in there? Like writing
I
block.
have very soft deadlines. So I think probably it would be helpful to have more hard, fast deadlines, but I have kind of built in some softer deadlines so I know how frequently I need to add that in as a work task.
Tara, I'd like to say I do that as well, and I have a fall semester plan, a spring semester plan, a summer plan, and so I book these as recurring appointments, and it all works well in theory, and it served me well. But I shuffle my own appointments around wildly till, the writing times for various projects are at 5 o'clock, and I've lost my steam. I do find in my current job that there are times when I'm better if I write in the morning. I'm better at productivity in the morning and getting anything done. And so I have some control over things like when the meeting's mine to schedule, it gets scheduled in the afternoon. But there are days when I have stuff to do. I always have stuff to do, but I'm willing to say I'm not working on that now because I'm going to work on this literature review or whatever it is. So I like the scheduling, but the adhering to it is a little harder, but some days I do. It's just like if I'm really going to make any progress at all, I have to move this to the front of the line.
Yeah, just to follow up on what William and Tara both said, I think scheduling for me is super important. But as we said, when you get too busy, it can be hard to even meet your own self-imposed deadlines. But one thing that I found really helpful is, in so much as it is possible, I think for a lot of professionals, we spread ourselves too thin, and you have to be able to say no to those things you can say no to. And kind of prioritize, okay, what are the most important things I have to get done in my writing projects, et cetera. And then I found that saying no to things that I don't absolutely need to do for my career, or saying no to some things in maybe personal life, really helps me free up my schedule so I can actually meet those self-imposed deadlines. So that's helped a lot for me.
David put a strategy in the chat. It's very interesting.
I'll read it. He said he blocks double the time and commits to half. So if he thinks he could write it in 2 hours, he books a full morning slash afternoon and then commits to getting half of it done. It's more realistic. When he's on the ball, the productivity is energizing. When he's not, it's less debilitating. That is very interesting. I think I have a semi-similar method where I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on this for 20 minutes. I'm going to work on this project and I can get distracted and unfocused after this 20 minutes. I can check the email that I just got in 20 minutes. And then I real find that after that 20 minutes, I still want to keep working on what I'm working on because I'm so focused and engaged that I'm not getting distracted. So that helps me a lot. But that's what it is. Go ahead. Your hand up.
Hi, I'm Margarita. I'm writing a book, a textbook that's due in December. And like other folks here, I try to schedule time and also in the morning. So I write from 6:30 in the morning till 9:30. And I'm fortunate that I've been able to schedule my teaching assignments in the afternoon. So this has actually worked really well for me and kind of the principle of writing every day. So that you don't forget what you're working on, or that you have to run around trying to find out what you worked last. Even so, I think like others of you, I would like to be even to be more productive, so I'm curious to hear what other tips you all might have. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up on one thing that was just said. So, don't you find though, Margarita, that when you set that time, that 6:30 to 9:30, and it becomes a daily thing, doesn't that make it much easier to get into a rhythm? Because I do that for myself. Doing things on a set time and a set schedule, I think, in and of itself, helps make me more productive. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, no, it does. I wasn't able really to hold to it throughout the summer because, schedules are a bit different. It does make it easier, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I go to sleep at 9 o'clock at night. I'm just like out, and then I try to get up at 5:45, and then I have every month I have a chapter due, so I have that deadline, and that's actually not a lot of time if. Once you come down to it, everything that you need to do for a chapter. So no, oh, Paul, I agree with you. Thank you. I think it does make it a lot easier.
I would
That's great.
follow up on
But go
that.
ahead.
Go ahead,
No,
Sierra.
go ahead. That's fine. I was just saying that's great input. Thank you.
Well, I think it's valuable to think about, I'm sorry, it was Paul was mentioning getting into a habit and talking about Margarita's habit. Like we're physiological beings, we're neurophysiological beings, and crucial in that physiology is their circadian rhythms, and like habits are in our bodies, so they make it easier to do the same thing. Your body is ready for that. It's like when you're in elementary school and lunch is approaching, you get hungry at the time, before you, because your body has that habit. So developing a habit really helps us maintain and supports this rhythm. And something else that I think it was Margarita said, but the idea that I like to think of it as developing momentum. But when we work consistently on something, that neurophysiology is kept active and the ideas are kept active. And I think that that helps us then stay in the same place. And it also helps with something that's a real problem for most open-minded people, which is that if we can consistently work on something, we can finish it sooner, which means that we don't learn as much in the period in which we're trying to write it. And like learning is generally good, but learning is not great for finishing a long-written project because you start writing the project and halfway through it, you learn a new perspective on that project and you're like, I want to rewrite the whole thing. So if you finish it in a month, if you finish it quickly with this habit of writing every day, you learn less and your vision of what that project is stays more stable. So you can like get the project done. And the longer you let it sort of drag out and less momentum you have and less consistently you have, the more the danger is that your project's going to shift on you. So I'll shut up now.
I'm working on two projects right now. I've got a completely revised second edition of one book, revised and updated. And I've now completed 13 chapters of that. I'm waiting for the text editor to send back, run footnotes or whatever else. And then I've written 15 chapters on a completely new book on a very different topic. So one was on Texas politics. The other one is on strategic planning for nonprofits. And so I've now drafted 15 chapters of that, both of those since January. What I try to do is focus, and I'll do on 3 days a week, usually 2 hours of writing in the morning and 3 hours of writing in the evening. And I find that in doing that, I can get quite a bit done. In fact, usually I'll be able to draft a full chapter in about a week and a half. But you have to be very, very focused.
How do you remain focused? How do you keep that focus?
Yeah, well, one of the things I do is I don't take any emails. I don't look at them. I walk my dog in the morning. I look at anything that's an emergency in the morning. Then I turn off my phone. And I focus solely on writing. I don't take, something comes up as a notification from the Washington Post or the LA Times or something like that, I ignore it. And often what I'll do is I'll put myself, like this afternoon, I'm going to go to a conference room without my computer just to edit some of the printed copies. And then tonight I'll work on merging some of the chapters, moving some of the things, etc. But if you allow yourself to be distracted, you will be distracted. I do a lot of consulting with nonprofits and with coaching, and so I'm when I'm doing that, I'm very focused on whether it's coaching a higher education leader or a nonprofit leader. I will focus on, before I meet with them, reviewing their file. For example, I worked with a nonprofit that had, on paper, $7 million in the bank. But in fact, they owed $6 million. And they bought a property that they couldn't afford. And it was draining money out of their endowment. And so I read as much as I could. I interviewed people. Then I met with them. And then I made some recommendations. Since that time, I followed with them to create a whole new organization and really modify what they're doing, as well as their whole board. Again, that's, you have to be very, very focused in order to provide the kind of organizational help that they need. So the writing is similar. I'll take a case study like the organization that I just discussed, take some notes. Generally, unless it's an organization that was very successful and I know the director very well, I won't use the name of the organization. I make a hypothetical case, but with much of the information that, or I'll combine and do a case study for students.
Bill, I think that's a really good suggestion to not look at messages or emails during your writing time. Do you have a set time where you do look at messages and emails
Yes.
every day? Like, is it a fixed time?
Well, for me, I'm teaching three courses this semester, all for graduate students, all different courses. So I did the lectures already. It's all asynchronous. I set office hours in the evening because these are full-time employees of different companies or nonprofits. And then they have to make an appointment. I set time with them. And, I'm very specific about, what they need to do in preparation to meet with me and to give me so that I can give them the best and most efficient time. Then after I'm finished that, I usually watch a movie or walk my dog, relax for a while. And then about 9 o'clock at night, I'll write again from 9 o'clock till midnight. So I usually write early in the morning, a little bit midday, and then late in the evening. You know, I cannot be very proficient beyond 3 hour blocks. And I learned that actually when I was a research fellow, a senior research fellow at the Carnegie Foundation. And we had to do a lot of reviews of proposals. But at the same time, we needed to do our own writing. And I found that if I could get the work done for the review of RFPs and others in the morning, give myself some personal time, and then my own time. And so doing that creates a rhythm that you're more proficient in writing.
Thank you. That's really helpful because I go through so many different projects throughout the day. I'm like, oh, I'm working on this one. Oh, while I'm here, I might as well get some of this project done in there. I got an email. I'm going to go respond to that. And I get distracted by that. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to work on this project while I'm in here. And then I find myself getting distracted by small things that like you wouldn't think to get distracted by. So that's very impressive.
Those things enter your brain, and mm-hmm. and then you start thinking about them instead of writing. I used to teach speed reading at UCLA, and one of the things that I would teach people is how to focus their brain and blank out everything else, so you could read 2,000, 3,000 words a minute. And all of us are capable of doing that because the eye and the brain, the eye sees much more than we think it does, and the brain grabs it and can synthesize and decode at a much faster pace than. So when we're taught phonetics, that actually slows us from reading because we focus on syllables, you know, one syllable, one word, rather than a whole page. And so when you learn to focus and pull out everything else, then you're not distracted. And the first thing to do is just turn off your phone. Turn off notifications on your computer and just write. Or get a computer that doesn't have any Wi-Fi connectivity. Turn off the Wi-Fi and just write.
I'll try that. I'll turn off my Wi-Fi next time. Kim will be really happy if she tries to call me.
if there's an emergency, somebody is going to get to you. But everybody else, it's not an emergency. And if it is an emergency, it's generally some problem that a student has or a colleague has that they caused. So, you know, let them wait a little bit. Get your work done, then put on the Wi-Fi and then respond accordingly. Anyway, that's my recommendation.
And
I used to run a boot camp at Stanford for people to complete their dissertations. And, you know, the same way. It was just focus, you know, get rid of distractions, write. And rewrite. And edit. And I tell people, try to do this. Get a whole chapter written in 4 days. Then take the weekend. Relax. And either on Friday or Sunday, you know, just do the footnotes. Nothing more. Then move to the next chapter. Same thing. And you can have a dissertation done in 6 to 7 weeks. And you can have a draft of a book done in 10 weeks. Anyway, just drafts.
For me, for smaller tasks, let's use the example of like writing an article. One thing that I find that helps make me more productive is when I break that into tiny organized steps. So my first step for writing the article will probably be a brain dump where I just get all my key points that I want to mention on the page. And that gets me going and gets me started. And let's say I have a really busy day, you know, it might only take me 5 minutes to put all my brain dumping ideas down. Then I might get busy with other things. But throughout the day, you can use those little gaps of time, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, to get a lot done. And so I could do the brain dump as step one, then I get busy. Maybe I have office hour during a student, but then I'll get 20 minutes, half an hour later during the day. Oh, now I'm going to organize my thoughts. What do I want as the first point, the second point, kind of like a mini outline. Okay, that's done. Then I, you know, get busy with other things, come back later, and I might have another 20 minutes. And then, okay, time to write the first draft. And the first draft, I find, goes so much smoother when you approach it in an organized way. First brain dump, then organize how you're going to put it together, then write your first draft. And, you know, you can have that article written just in little teeny gaps that you have during the day. You can have the first draft written at the end of the day. And then you go and refine it later, maybe in the evening, and boom, it's done. So kind of for me, it's the organized approach to things, you know, being methodical, being following a tried and true system. That helps me in like all my tasks, whether it's writing a chapter for a book or whether it's doing something as simple as writing an article.
Well, that really blows my mind what you're saying, because I could never imagine for myself doing something here in 10 minutes and go off. I mean, it's really great that you can do that. Maybe I should try that, but it feels to me like it would be too distracting to be doing things. But I'm really amazed that you can do that.
That really only works well. I mean, in terms of those little bites of time for something simple like a short article. But I would follow a similar approach when I'm running a chapter, other things too. But again, there you need more of a bigger block of time. But I guess my point is that when you don't get those big blocks of time, there's still a lot you can get done during the day by taking that 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, half hour there. So that's my point. But it works better for shorter tasks, to be sure.
To follow up on something Bill said and something Paul said, I've come to believe in the importance of trying to write fast, right? There are people who brain dump, as Paul said, or, you know, Bill was talking about writing an entire chapter in 4 days. And I think the attempt to write fast is really valuable. A lot of people get stuck in this. I always think of Gustave Flaubert, the novelist who is famous for laboring over le mot juste, the perfect word. And he would write a page a day or a page a week. And I mean, I get where people who do that come from. I have perfectionism issues myself, right? I get stuck. I want to get it right. But if you can make yourself do the full thing quickly, it's much easier to finish projects. And I think you learn to write faster and you think then you're more able to fit into short blocks of time. So, you know, writing an abstract for an article that requires conceptualizing the entire article, but it's only about 150 or 200 words. If you say, well, this will take me all day, you spend all day on it. But if you say it's 250 words, I could speak that in 2 minutes. You know, and then you write it in 10 minutes or you write it in 20 minutes. Well, you have time to edit it. So anyway, writing quickly, I think is really valuable. And that plays into something that a few people were talking about earlier with setting goals and setting goals that are sort of soft targets. I like to think in terms of setting really ambitious goals. I'm going to write this chapter this week. I'm going to write this chapter. I'm going to finish it in a month or whatever the ambitious goal is. And then if I don't make it, well, you know, it was an ambitious goal, but I prompt myself to write quickly. I prompt myself to finish things more quickly. And that allows me to do things faster. And one other thing about what Paul was saying is fitting things into different slots of time, sort of Margarita talking about how difficult that can be. I was thinking about, again, we're physiological beings. This is a neurophysiological process. The more you're concerned with something, the more you think about it, the easier it is to bring it back into mind. And so I like to tell people that it's really valuable to geek out on the stuff they're interested in, because then if you get obsessive about it, it's, I mean, obviously obsessive is in a larger scope bad, but if you're sort of obsessive about your idea, it's much easier to pick it up on short notice because it's always with you. And the more you care about it and the more you enjoy it and sort of come to it from that angle of, I don't know, philosophy means love of wisdom, right? If you come from it from this philosophical angle where you're like, this is what you're into, it's much easier to pick it up in shorter bites. That being said, you know, we need to focus our time for a concerted effort to write a longer piece, as Paul was saying, and as Margarita was commenting, and sort of a final thought. Bill was talking about 3 hours is a chunk of time. I think there is sort of a fair amount of empirical evidence, or at least I'm thinking of the empirical work of Robert Boyce, Boice, who studied professors and their writing habits. And he was like, yeah, the most productive ones spent 3 hours a day. So that was a lot of ideas. And thank you for listening.
No, I agree. I remember in one of the past conversation circles, you shared like writing it, just writing it and stop trying to be so focused on perfectionism. And I tried that and that's really helped me. And I feel like my writing is better now that I don't focus so hard on every single word and I'm so worried about how it's shaping. And I just write it and then I come back and I read it after it's done. I'm like, oh, I like it. Like as I was writing it, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Well, I'll fix it later. But then I reread it and I'm like, oh, I think this is good. I like it. It's better than when I spent way too much time on each part of the sentence. So thank you.
I'm glad that helps. And I think that the, you know, we can speak and write quickly because we're focused on the big idea. And when we start to focus on the details, right, the what's the perfect word here, we can lose sight of the bigger idea, which is really what we're trying to communicate with our work anyway.
I feel I need to clarify. When I say I work 2 or 3 hours in the morning, I spend about 3 weeks reading and then I write my chapter in a week. So I agree with what you're saying, Dave. Kind of write it quickly, you know, don't dilly-dally around that. But depending on what kind of writing you're doing, you know, there may be some research or reading that for me is also part of the work of doing the writing.
We segregate writing out from larger processes in which we're involved. And I often think it's useful to think about what we're really doing as being scholars. We are teachers and we're researchers and we're learning stuff. And writing is just a tool in that process. But so research and the thinking about what we're doing is integrated into this larger process. And we're just writing to share our ideas or to develop our ideas and explore our ideas. But what we're really doing is we're being, I don't know, philosophers. I love the word philosophy because like love of wisdom and all that. But so this, it's an integrated thing where we read and we write and that sort of works together. And writing is not just something separate from all that. It's part of that.
Yeah. Following up on something Sierra mentioned about not being too perfectionistic, which is a problem I have as well, is, and, you know, not worrying about getting that perfect word. I find that I really had to go through a process because my perfectionism could be crippling at times and really reduce my productivity. And I really had to go through a process where I told myself, okay, it's all right. Save that for later. That's the editing phase, not the first draft phase. And when I told myself that over and over and just got into more of a flow of going through, you know, the process that I mentioned before, then it really helped with my productivity a lot. But that was something I really had to get over and I struggle with.
You know, what I try to do when I'm asked to write a book, you know, or want to write one, and I'm, you know, reaching out to a publisher, is I think about the arc of, you know, how am I going to tell the story? What do I, you know, what are the key points that I want? And actually, I just use posts and a big whiteboard and think, okay, here's sort of the ideas that I want to put. And that way I just can move them around. Now I have a sense, then I can do the outline and the very specific major ideas in each chapter that I want to get at. And, you know, then I write. And it's, you know, that's not to say that it's an easy process. It's a discipline process. But I think, you know, that process has worked for me for several books. So I'm going to have to leave. I had just finished working out at the gym. Side on, now I've got to meet with a student at 1. So I'm going to take a shower, get to the office and do that. But I really wanted to go on. I love the ideas, and any help I can give, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'm going to put my email in the chat.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you.
Let's see, where is the chat? Here we go.
I think there's a, it's on the bar in the bottom. You can click the chat.
Yeah, no. Let me.
Participants and...
For some reason, then it's not showing up. I was in the chat before. Huh. Okay. Let me eliminate this. That's interesting. Because usually it's right at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it disappears for me too. Or I'm on a different program altogether. And then I think it's Zoom. And I'm like, where are things? But,
yeah. Here we go. I'm going to send it to everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to jump in here. My name is Christina. I thank you all for the tips and advice and even just the space to like talk about this and like to have the dedicated space. I really appreciate it. I was at TAA this past summer for the first time in person. So yay. I heard several sessions mentioned using Trello, and I've heard like a project management for productivity. And I've heard colleagues here as well use Trello. And I was just interested. So I'm leaning into it. You know, I'm always one of those who are like, I'm flexible to what systems I use, you know, depending on how things change. But I was just interested if anyone's using Trello and how you're setting it up or any other project management systems to stay organized. Thanks.
I do not use Trello. I've been introduced to a whole variety of like apps and things to make me productive that seem like more effort than than I can do. The most useful thing that I use is an Excel spreadsheet. I track every project gets a spreadsheet, and I fill in the dates in advance. And all I'm doing is I'm tracking time, but probably the most important thing has turned out to be where I left off. Because then I don't have to spend any time in a spin like, what was I doing? It's like I know exactly where I left off and what needs to be done next. So that's the and I'm also one of these people that the simple tools are the better ones for me. I was at one of these product teams one time, and we were talking about all these available online options. And she was like, if you're a paper calendar person and it works for you, then, have at it. Have at it, use what works for you. So that's just Excel seems to work for me and keeps me kind of in line.
I'm the same. I've never used Trello. I love my paper planner. I love my little book. I like that I can use my pen and I have colored highlighters for when I'm really like, I need a little bit more motivation. And I'm gonna color this thing that I need to do in a color that seems alluring to me. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that today. So a little more motivation. Does anyone else use Trello or any or paper, anything like that?
I also use Excel, and who talked about Excel? Was it William? Yeah. So I track every day how many minutes I write, and then I track at the end of the week how many minutes I wrote, and then I track like I can write 400 words in an hour. So I kind of track these things to keep myself accountable. But yeah, I think Excel it's easy for me to use.
Mostly, it shows me how many days in a row I didn't work. Sorry.
I also don't use Trello, but I kind of agree with William. Having something simple that's part Office Suite that you use, whether it's Google Docs or MS Office. I'm an Office person, so I use Excel and just Word docs, and it's that works really well for me because it's simple. I already have it. And I still kind of, like Sierra mentioned, I kind of jump back and forth between handwritten notes and the electronic. But I tend to want the final form in all electronic because it's easier to store files that way, to share files that way. And I end up turning a lot of those docs into PDF files. So that's really productive for me. But I still do think there's a really big value in hand to paper and getting ideas down or making a quick sketch or thinking my thoughts through. It often starts for me with pen and paper. So that it just works for me. But I think the most important thing is just doing it, more than finding the perfect app.
I love my planner, but I think one thing that's difficult for me is that I have all of these things written on it that I'd like to do and that I need to do, and then it's overwhelming that I have all of these things, and then that makes me get more distracted more easily or unfocused because I'm like, oh, I have so many things to do. But does anyone else share that experience and anything that you found that helps you push through and still feel like you've
Yeah.
been productive?
Anytime my to-do list gets too long, what I do is I break it up into pieces and I reprioritize. So, like, let's say when I'm feeling, and that's just a personal thing, for some people, the length's going to differ for when you feel overwhelmed. But when you personally feel overwhelmed, that's the time to break it up into pieces and to say, oh, okay, or just number things like, okay, which of these are priority one that I have to get done in the next day or week or whatever? Which of them can wait till later? And then when it sits itself out, then the most important things come through. Then I don't feel as overwhelmed because I see an achievable plan. I don't see just a bunch of stuff that I got to do. Because when you have a generalized list, you lose the sense of weight, the weight of importance of each thing. But when you break it up and reprioritize, it's like, oh, okay, now I can see what I got to get done and what can wait till later.
Thank you.
Yeah,
That's a great
I
idea.
kind of do that with I put my to-do list is task items on my calendar, and that way I can move things around. So I pull up each day's calendar and it might have a lot of stuff on there. So I have a tendency to kind of work backwards. I'll like in the morning I'll sit down and I'll look, I'll project what time I'm planning on stopping for the day. And then I kind of work backwards in time frame, saying, okay, I have to get this done. So this is starting at this time, it's going to take this long. And then I work my way down to the beginning of the task and I think, okay, yeah, I don't have to do that today. So that helps me just work backwards in a kind of a timeline. And that way I know I'm getting the absolutes done. And if I do have some extra gaps in my time, I can go back and take care of those things that were on my list but weren't have to's for that day.
Thank you. That's great. Yeah, I'm going to start numbering things, like you mentioned, Paul, and figuring out which one needs to be done today and then worrying about the other ones for tomorrow. So I feel less overwhelmed. Thank you.
I have something else that I can share about being overwhelmed. I do also get overwhelmed. So I actually keep a journal, a work journal, and I write in it every day, like a diary where I kind of express my anxieties about work and about writing. And somehow, if I put it on the paper, then I feel better. I vented and it's not gone, but I feel better.
I'll try that too. Thank you.
Writing does have great therapeutic value, like writing about your own stuff. What I was actually going to say, though, was sort of more generally that in work as scholars, philosophers, or including writing, we always are faced with what economists would call opportunity cost, right? We have more things to do than we have time to do. And opportunity cost is this idea that if I do X, then I can't do Y. If I invest in, opportunity cost for economists is usually talked about. If I invest in this company, I can't put my money into a bank account. But if I invest my time into writing my journal article, I can invest my time into writing a teaching plan. If I invest my time into learning Trello, I can invest my time into, but maybe we have these trade-offs also. I sort of remember this from with Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, right? The choice between improving yourself and working on the thing with the skill level you have now. And like Trello is one of those things that you have to learn it, and then maybe it improves your productivity. So, how you're sort of assess anyway, we're always making these difficult choices. And to sort of go back to what Paul was saying about prioritizing, new things come up. We always have to prioritize. And I get overwhelmed a lot to be able to say, what are the top priorities? What are the things that I can accomplish now that will allow me to feel less done? And there is this balance between the writing about the process and the managing the process and actually doing it, right? So the journal about your writing and what you have to do and running Trello and setting up your calendar, all of that sort of about the process and managing the process. And then we also have the actual writing of, the article we want to publish. Anyway, we're always balancing those against each other, and there's always this tension, the trade-off between different things, the opportunity cost of every action that we take. And my advisor used to talk about some of the paradoxes of rationality, what he had called the paradoxes of rationality. And one of them is you want to be rational about what you're doing. You want to know what the outcome of your actions is, but to think about what the outcomes of your action is, that takes time itself, right? And that's an action. So do you then think about thinking about the outcomes of your action? Do you, and anyway, that's why it's a paradox, right? We get caught in this loop, but we want to balance between the sort of overall managerial view and the focused, I have to write this article about my specific topic of expertise.
I love economic terms. I have an economics degree, so I got excited when you said opportunity cost and trade-off. It's like that's a good point. Like I can use that in my day-to-day. I forget. Thank you. But yeah, I find myself thinking too much about what's in my planner, like putting too much energy into organizing that and thinking about those things rather than working on the project sometimes because I'm procrastinating getting into them with that. So that's a good point. Yeah, I've fallen into
One thing I
that
was
loop.
thinking about,
That's
sorry to interrupt. I
okay.
didn't
That's
mean
okay.
to. One thing I was thinking about when I saw the title of this conversation circle was the importance of confidence or conviction or something, right? It's one of the great dangers, I think, for writers and for scholars and for, I don't know, people and everything is that we get locked in this debate of what's the right way to go. And to some extent, any choice of action with conviction is better than sitting around sort of going, oh, I could do this or I could do that anyway. It's hard to overcome that, but there's a certain confidence that some people have that really, other people who doubt more, who get caught in perfectionism more, envy. I envy it anyway. The people who are so confident of themselves that they just do it rather than thinking about whether they're doing it right. So, to find confidence and to act. And sometimes I was thinking even just to fake it until you make it. Paul was talking about how he kept telling himself just to not worry about that stuff. And like you act like you're confident, you do the thing that the confident person would do. And that can actually help, I think, with productivity because you don't sit around vacillating, you take action instead.
Thank you. I have days where I'm like that, where I'm like, oh, I'm brave. I'm gonna just jump into it. And then I have, and then the next day I'm like, oh no, like where did it go? I was so productive yesterday. What happened? You know, but I guess at least if we have days where we feel we jump in head first, that's good. That's a good step. It's better than not having any days like that. So can't believe we only have 10 minutes left. It's gone by so quickly. But yeah, we're talking about habits, Dave. And actually, our next conversation circle next month, next, not next Monday, next month, Angelica Ribeiro is going to be my co-moderator. And it's going to be about habits, like developing good habits, things like that. So it'll be a similar sort of idea. And I mean, we, almost running out of time. So next month we can pick up on this idea and this conversation if anyone's interested in joining us again next month. I'm not trying to end us here or wrap up, but do you have continue? Just wanted to say that before we ran out of time.
Well, they're different faces of the same question, right?
Yes.
We develop habits to be more productive. And well, how do we develop those habits? Bill was talking about, well, you just focus. But I mean, mental discipline is something that humans have struggled with for millennia, right? Which is why the great spiritual leaders of the past talk about the importance of spirit of psychological discipline. Anyway, to be able to focus at will, to be able to tell ourselves these stories consistently that I'm going to act this way, I'm going to act that way, right? That's part of developing habit, and it's part of how we become more productive, and they're related. So they're different faces of the same process.
One habit that I found that helps my productivity also, I'm curious how many other people do this, is I mean, we all have our schedule, we all have our planner, but I actually kind of write out my daily list of tomorrow the night before. And so I try to have tomorrow planned before I wake up in the morning. And yeah, there you go. So I'm sure most of us already do this, but it's the thing I want to emphasize is for me, I find that doing it the night before saves me time in the morning the next day of not doing that and makes me more productive. So do other people, it looks like other people are doing that too as well.
So I do not do it the night before. But I write in my journal every night before I go to bed. But I do a back, I still get a sufficient amount of mail to do a back of the envelope list every day of my life. And I have done it for years. And I'm not kidding about every day of my life, because if it's a holiday, if I travel, I don't. But if it's a holiday and I'm at home, I do it, because I actually have to put things on there like, would you lie in the hammock, please? You know, so that I do something other than a chore or an errand. This is very helpful for me, because actually what it does for me is I have an admin job. So my job is very, rather than teaching driven, it's meeting driven. And it allows me to see the empty slots every day. I mean, obviously I can see it on my Outlook calendar, but as I'm putting my day together, I know that I have, you know, an hour in the morning and a couple hours in the afternoon. Or something like that, where I can work in, or even on the days when I don't have much time at all, what can I work in that, you know, in one of those small time slots. So yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of not the only one that writes on the mail that I get. I write notes on it. My problem is I haven't actually opened the mail. I have like a pile of mail that I haven't opened yet, but I'm still like using it to take notes on it. But I'll get there someday.
Oh, there might be a prize-winning entry there in one of those envelopes.
Probably, maybe, but it's probably expired by now. But I have notes on it that are valuable. So.
There's a book on procrastination that I like. The author is Neil Fiore, Fiore. It's called The Now Habit. Any, I don't remember exactly. He worked as a counselor, clinical psychologist at UC Berkeley, and he said something along the lines of, the students who have the most success writing their dissertations are the ones who leave time for other things in their lives. So his idea was procrastination comes from a re resentment. And William was talking about scheduling in time to lie in a hammock. But I think Fiore's larger argument in his book is that scheduling in time to do things like lying in the hammock, get exercise, seeing friends, seeing family, all of these things help maintain a healthier emotional relationship with your work, so that you don't develop the resentment that sparks procrastination. I would generalize a little to say that these things, you know, support general mental health, which supports greater productivity without necessarily bringing the element of procrastination. But this idea that, you know, William, of lying in the hammock, just hammock, scheduling lying in the hammock, reminded me of that book.
Thank you. Oh, and Margarita also put a book in the chat too earlier. Thank you. I probably gonna order that off Amazon later,
Well,
maybe.
to be productive, I listened to it while I was driving. So that was actually awesome. And it just felt like somebody talking to me, giving me tips on how to write, you know. So I really enjoyed that book. It's easy to listen to.
Thank you.
I just
Someone
wanted to say
else.
thank you. Yeah, to everyone for sharing. I've been reflecting as I'm listening, and one of my takeaways, and hearing all the wonderful ideas and strategies and thoughts is the intentionality of our time and how important it is to be intentional. As I've been listening, like, oh my gosh, I've been set with my calendar all summer. No wonder I feel like I haven't gotten anything done. So thank you all for helping me have that insight in this hour together of being more intentional as I move into this next term.
Thanks so much for coming. And thank you, everyone. This has been very helpful to me as well. I've learned a lot. Like, thank you.